DZUP Special Features.
Magandang umaga! Ito ang DZUP Special Features kung saan itinatampok ang mga academic lecture, seminar at forum at maging mga espesyal na programa. Ako po si Gian Librojo. Balikan natin ang kauna-unahang pandaigdigang kongreso sa mga nanganganib na wika na inorganisa ng Komisyon sa Wikang Filipino sa pakikipagtulungan sa Pambansang Komisyon para sa Kultura at Sining at Radio TV Malacanang. Pakinggan natin.
Ang susunod na tagapanayam ay taga Southeast Asia. Simula pa noong 1995 ay naglilingkod na siya bilang mananaliksik at lecturer sa Research Institute for Languages and Cultures of Asia sa Mahidol University. Kasama siya sa dokumentasyon ng pagpapasigla at pangangalaga ng nanganganib na mga wika at gayon din sa bilingual na edukasyon para sa mga pangkating etniko sa Thailand. Ang kanyang espesyalisasyon ay pagpapaunlad at pagpapasigla at pangangalaga sa mga pangkating etniko at etnolingwistiko. Natamo niya ang kanyang MA at PhD sa Linguistika sa Mahidol University. Pinakikilala ko po, I'm proud to introduce Mayuri Thawernpat.
Thailand is situated at the heart of Southeast Asia and as such exhibit or the remarkable characteristic of regional of its as is as 65 million speaking more than 70 languages belong to five language family like Thai family, also Asiatic family, Austronesian family, Hmong, Mien, and Sino-Tibetan. Language in Thailand are related hierarchically. The top of the level is international languages such as English, Chinese, and Asian languages. The second level is Standard Thai, which is official or national language used in education and mass media all over the country. The third level of the hierarchy comprises of the major regional language. They include four languages, which are spoken by the majority of the various parts of Thailand. Northern or Kamueang in northern part of Thailand. Northeast or Lao Isan in northeast. South or Pak Thai in the south. And Central Thai in the center part of Thailand. And the lowest level is include the local vernacular language or minority languages, which are classified into five groups. The first one is local regional Thai languages, the major regional Thai variants that are spoken as the vernacular language of the majority of language in each region of Thailand. Second, displaced language, which are mainly Thai language, historically used by migration people moving from their homeland to settle in Thailand because of work opportunities. The third one is Thao language, Chinese or Vietnamese, which are spoken urban areas. The marginal languages are mainly non-Thai, minority languages found near the border with the majority of speakers living on the other side of the border. And the last one is enclave languages. At the lowest rung of the language ladder, they are languages spoken by small, isolated ethnolinguistic groups such as totally unrelated languages and wholly constrained without the country. This is list for the last one has led to extinct because we will take care of this language. Okay, language situation in Thailand. Nowadays, we have so many ethnic groups in Thailand. at least 40 languages are serious endangered. All major non-dominant languages are potentially the endangered and to site of construction, especially in vocabulary, grammar, including oral traditions and music. I will show you the map of endangered languages of Thailand. In the left side is 50 languages, endangered languages in Thailand. Some are moribund, some are serious endangered. And the right-hand side is about the language that near the border of Thailand. That's now they list to lost their language too. Why care about the language loss? If we lost language, result in loss of all cultures, knowledge system, philosophical system, literary and musical traditions, environments, knowledge system, medical system, cultural practice, and artistic skill. Inherent value of language diversity, value system. We will lose language reclamation is identity reclamation. We will lose social development. Because language have the context, ecological sustenance, linguistic and cultural right. Because yesterday somebody to mention about the linguistic right, now it's very important for to help them to know about their right. What can be done? As linguists, we will have the language documentation and description, language development and language revitalization, language archive, reconsideration of national language policy. But today I just mentioned about language documentation and description. In the afternoon, Ajahn Suwilai, she will present about the language revitalization in Thailand. Then she will give more information about the language revitalization in the afternoon. How different between language documentation and language revitalization? Language documentations focus on knowledge of language cultures, at least record, resource, tools, helping to create knowledge and things. For the revitalization, focus on practice, expanding and creating communication practice, helping to participating in the community search for value of their traditional language or traditional cultures. It's different between little bit, but if they work together, that's very good. Why language documentation and description? One way to preserve a language from dying. Important in absence of a revitalization program or revitalization and level are difficult without documentation. Only hope to passing on knowledge to anyone. To know what kind of documentation of language extinct is in beginning state of language revitalization program. Do you agree with me? In the size of linguistic loss, if we lost the language, we will lose phonological system. We will lose semantic system. We will lose syntactic system. If we try to collect more and more, we can keep this system and we can transfer to the other generation. How about change in phonetic and phonology? Great violation in pronunciation of elderly and younger speakers. Segmental and suprasegmental phonemes, digital complex and phonological development are in process of different languages, dialects as Khmu, Kasong, Thawung, and Guang that need to be recorded before they are lost. For syntactic structure, grammatical words, auxiliary final particles, and conjunctions are heavy borrowing from the language, and only few affixations are still productive. The syntax of several ethnic minority languages, especially in Mon Khmer, and Tibetan Burman languages in Thailand are become more like Thai. Let me check in lexicon. A large percentage of word and borrow, more than half of lexical inventory are in influenced by Thai language. If we not do anything, we will be lost. Okay. How and what to be document? First of all, principle and method to record the data, training and consultation to the people, not only for the community, as well as linguists too. Because nowadays there are very new knowledge about like digital archive or about the technology to help recording the data, record document, or vocabulary, Ojong, grammar, traditional tales, ethnographic text, publication, field note, recording, social interaction, rules and pattern. Most of endangered languages are little known, unwritten, or previously unrecorded. Two main activities are involved in the task of recording or documenting language: the collection, transcription, and translation of the primary data, editing, and distribution to interest parties and researchers. The description analysis of the data, including the presentation of the analysis of grammatical and lexical format. What to do? Who to do? Only linguists? Only community? No. Every partner come to join to do like this. Language documentation and description in case of Thailand, we use two methods for language documentation. The linguist works in the local speech community, studying the languages, gathering and eliciting data, then describe the phonological and grammatical system of the language, the low-S language, like this. It's really it's urgency for lexical, grammatical, text documentation to preserve local knowledge, to preserve local wisdom, and to preserve ecology. Everything for the community daily life. And then lexicon, making dictionary, or record and describe the grammar and discourse. Okay, I will show you this is the language that I work with, Huang in Suphanburi. We record and collecting data, and then we use a FLAG program to input the data and analyze and then produce the dictionary. Okay, this is really useful and easy to use. Making dictionary is not difficult if you can use this program. In the past, I worked with Ajahn Suvilai making Khmu dictionary. I used so many programs, like Excel, like Word. But now, we can learn about how to use FLAG. It's really convenient and easy to put the data in it. Okay, this is an example for storytelling from the community. Okay, this is a law of linguists. When we record or collect the data, and then they transcribe in IPA symbol. But the community, they cannot use IPA symbol. They just only use the script. This is example of dictionary that I have Ajahn Suvilai to collect the data like this. The thesaurus of Khmu dictionaries. The thesaurus of Khmu dialects in Southeast Asia. We use only one database. we have only one database, but we can expand many kinds of dictionary by using the program. In the past, we used two box, not straight like this. Okay, the dictionary, Rambling Dictionary of Jiaguru dialects and Dictionary of Chong dialects. For the middle one, the community make their dictionary by themselves, but for the right-hand side, make by linguists. You see different, the shape of different. Okay, this is a kind of thesis of MA student and PhD student to record the data or language documentation and description. For the second method, is linguists work as facilitator together with local speech community using community-based research methodology. The language of ethnic groups in Thailand are documented by the native speaker. Okay, example for Adon from the Ulak Lavoy, C. Yipsi, who produced a booklet detailing the 14 boat ceremony. When they have the tool, like a lighting system, they can collect the data by themselves, little by little, and then they collect the 14 ceremony by themselves, and they produce this. Okay, now you can see the alphabet that we use different from linguists. They use their own because this is a Ulak Lavoy language based on Thai script. They produce or they develop their writing system by using Thai, and then they can write out everything that they like. This is the example for illiterate Morgan, this is the other group. Illiterate Morgan document their place name and ecological knowledge of the area around Surin Island in video because he is illiterate. He cannot read and write, but we try to help them to use the material like video or tape recording. The data in video was transcribed by the young generation who literate. You see, they work together among younger generation and older generation and young generation. For the right-hand side is the detail of the map or their knowledge. When we go to this island, we cannot collect everything. But when they know how to collect, they can. The other group is SAC in Nakhon Phanom. The native speaker can make their dictionary by themselves. The young, the man, he know how to use computer, but the lady, she has knowledge, and then they work together, collect their language and produce the dictionary. There are many indigenous languages of ethnic in Thailand were documented by native speaker. Now we work with the community to preserve their language. For this group is Lavua. They have collect for food, local food, and then they produce the booklet. Collect food, everything for of their community. For Yang Chong, the reflection level of food situation, revision of Chong orthography, documenting Chong recipes, keeping records of Chong. They can work by themselves if they know how to use the material or how they know the way to collect the data. Where to keep microfilms, audio taping, internet, dictionaries, local archive, libraries, clear houses, county museums, national archive, where to keep, and what keep for language preservation, for language maintenance, revitalization and revival, or for digital archive. This many things to do for this. If you're interested for our experience, we will talk to you later. Okay, it's time up. Okay, this is selected of references that I study from, especially from Professor Suvilai. In the afternoon, she will give more information about language revitalization in Thailand. Thank you very much.
Khob khun khap, Dr. Thawanpat, for sharing with us the efforts of the Thai people in preserving their indigenous languages, our ASEAN neighbors. Maraming salamat.
Halina't kilalanin ang kahalagahan ng wika sa ating mga buhay. Dito sa Ang Wika ng Ina Mo, tuwing Biyernes sa ganap na alas 6 hanggang alas 7 ng gabi. Dito lang sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Wika ng Ina Mo, tanda na magkapatid tayo. Wika ng Ina Mo, mag-uugnay sa Pilipino. Wika ng Ina Mo, salamin ng pagkatao. Wika ng Ina Mo, magtatakda kung saan tayo.
Saan ko, Mama? Ang sakit na po ng buong katawan ko.
Gano'ng katagal na bang hindi lumalabas, Anya?
Mag-iisang buwan na po.
Pasensya ka na, anak, ha? Naghahanap pa si Mama ng mabibilhan sa ibang bansa. Kaunting tiis pa, anak.
Si Anya ay may polycystic ovary syndrome kung saan siya'y may hormonal imbalance at isa sa mga lunas nito ay ang paggamit ng birth control pills. Make contraceptives accessible for Filipino women. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka.
Uy, kain na tayo.
Mamaya na, may homework pa ako.
Uy, late na, kain na.
Mamaya na kasi.
Kain na tayo, please.
Aray!
Ang pagpapalipas ng gutom ay maaaring magdulot ng ulcer o hyperacidity. Ugaliing kumain sa tamang oras. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
DZUP Special Features.
The next panelist, siya ay Associate Professor sa Department of American Indian Studies sa University of Minnesota na siyang direktor ng programa para sa wikang Ojibwe. Pinangangasiwaan niya ang paglikha ng bagong degree program na BA in Ojibwe at nagtuturo sa ikatlo at ikaapat na taong kursong wikang Ojibwe. Nagsasagawa din siya ng pananaliksik sa maraming aspekto ng wikang Ojibwe sa pag-asang makakakuha ng mga bagong konsepto sa kanyang mga estudyante. Lumahok siya sa komunidad sa pamamagitan ng pagbibigay ng gabay sa mga immersion teacher at nagtuturo ng konseptong panggramatika sa isang lokal na programang immersion na tinatawag na Ojibwe Mutaa Didaa Umaa Gikakii Minaang. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Brendan Fairbanks.
And now for our last speaker in our panel session, he will be talking about the newly implemented BA in Ojibwe degree program at the University of Minnesota, which strives to produce students who are proficient in the Ojibwe language. Here is Dr. Brendan Fairbanks from the University of Minnesota.
All right. Do you guys understand Ojibwe, huh? You guys are pretty good. Hello, everybody. It's my pleasure to come and speak to you with a little I know. My name is Brendan Fairbanks. I'm associate professor at the University of Minnesota. This is my home right now, and I'm Ojibwe. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Ojibwe tribe, sometimes called the Chippewas, but really it's Ojibwe. And in the Southwest, when we say Southwest, that's in like Minnesota. That's where I live right now. We call it Ojibwe, Chippewa. In the East, like in Michigan and more towards the East and Quebec and that towards that area in the Northern United States, they call themselves Odawa or Anishinaabe. They call themselves Odawa. You guys have heard of Ottawa? That comes from Odawa. In the Northwest, like into Saskatchewan and Northern Ontario, they don't call themselves Ojibwe, they call themselves Soto. We're the same people, we're all the same people, but they call themselves Soto, Ojibwe. And this is Minnesota. These are the Minnesota reservations where the Ojibwes, a lot of them reside. I'm not sure what happened. Okay, of course the Twin Cities are down here where the university is, but these are the Ojibwe reservations in Minnesota. There are many other communities in Wisconsin and into Canada. There are many, many Ojibwe Anishinaabe people. The Ojibwe language is a polysynthetic or a agglutinative language. So this is a typical word in Ojibwe right here. Ndagi-o wabama nanig. It's a really long word. That which means we should have went and seen them. So here are the morphemes. This is how it's broken up. In da gi o wabam a non ig. And that's all. It's a sentence in English, but a word in Ojibwe. This is how you say blueberry pie in Ojibwe. Mini boshkimi nasigun to be tu yi beka. Mini boshkimi nasigun but the ging. Gwe sichigani anemushiwi bitushki gun bakwejigan. That actually means blueberry pie with dog underwear in it. I don't know why we put dog underwear in there, but all right. I'm just kidding. I really didn't have to do that, right? But it's a long word. And this is what the language is, that word is made up of. Mean blueberry, bashkimi nasigan is the jam or the preserves, but digging gwe sichigan is something that's facing together. Animosh is dog, bitushkigan is underwear, and bread is bakwejigan. Okay, we don't really put dog underwear in there. In Minnesota, of course, we throw up these numbers of how many speakers there are. I did not go door to door and knock and find this out. So this is an estimation, we don't really know, but at Red Lake, and these are reservations. And if you're not familiar, reservations are the plots of land that the government was so kind to give us. So Red Lake, about 400 speakers. They have a very strong speaker community. Well, I mean, 400 speakers, that's strong to us. At Leech Lake Ojibwe is where I'm from. That's my dad's Ojibwe. My dad's from Leech Lake. And my mom's another tribe. About 90 speakers at Mille Lacs, 150. That's actually 10 years ago, the elders actually estimated about 80 speakers. About 80 speakers left about 10 years ago. It's probably way less now. So 150 is probably a little bit high. At White Earth, 15 speakers. At Fond du Lac Reservation, there's zero speakers. My friends at Fond du Lac did not like to hear that. I think there's one or two left. That's how it always is, right? We think there are no speakers left, and then sure enough, somebody walks out of the woods. Hey, I speak the language. Net Lake, about 20 speakers. Grand Portage, 3 speakers. St. Croix, about 10 speakers. So in Minnesota alone, we're looking around 500 or 600 speakers of Ojibwe. Of course, if you go into, this is just Minnesota. I'm not talking about Wisconsin or Ontario or Saskatchewan into Canada. There are many, many Anishinaabe or Ojibwe communities. Some communities you have to fly into that are very remote, and they have a very strong speaking community. So what I wanted to talk about today is what we're doing at the University of Minnesota to revive the Ojibwe language. Typically, the university is not the usual place where language revitalization movements occur. Normally, universities try to give language classes, provide language classes for students as to give students an exposure to other languages to expand their minds, right? So it's just a taste of the language, really. I actually took Chinese one semester, and I don't remember it, but it gave me an appreciation for the language. Language revitalization movements tend to be grassroots efforts. In other words, it's usually a group of people. They're not a part of a certain organization or anything. They just decide our language is dying. Let's save it, and let's figure out how to do that. And a lot of our communities in the United States, the Native communities, that's what they're doing. There's no money behind it. And so don't think that you have to have a bunch of money to save your language, right? There are the way I learned the language, right? I didn't grow up speaking the language. I learned it by hanging out with the elders. And I would just speak with the elders, pick their brains. That was free. And they gave of their time for free. I didn't have to pay them. And I did that for close to 7 to 8 years, about 7 years. I just hung out with the elders and say things like, hey, how do you say this? How do you say that? What about this? Write it down, record it, right? That was for free. Why do you need, you know? But that's one way. There's not only one way. But at the university, I kind of made it a language revitalization movement, right? I don't know if the university knows this or not, but I just single-handedly said, you know what? We're going to use the University of Minnesota to save the language if we can. The university was built on land belonging to the Dakota Nation. The Dakota Nation, I don't know if you've ever heard of them. That's one of the tribes in Minnesota. And that was, well, it was a land grant given from the state of Minnesota, but that land was taken by the federal government and the state of Minnesota. They took it from the Dakotas, and they made their reservation even smaller. Very big deal. So it makes sense, and it's appropriate that we, at the University of Minnesota, try to provide the language, right, to the indigenous population here. I'm indigenous myself. I'm Ojibwe. So I'm using them, right, for once. The Department of American Indian Studies at the University of Minnesota in Twin Cities currently teaches both Ojibwe and Dakota. There are 3 years of Dakota instruction. They're working on a fourth year. For the Ojibwe program, we have 4 years of instruction. And that's kind of brand new as of maybe 2 or 3 years ago. We added the fourth year of instruction. The BA, the bachelor's degree in Ojibwe degree, the bachelor's degree in Ojibwe language program is brand new. It's like only like 2 years old. I just said, you know what? We needed, the students wanted, they wanted a degree program because a lot of students were saying they were coming to the University of Minnesota to learn Ojibwe, but their degree that they were seeking was American Indian Studies degree. And so I thought, well, the students want it, I want it, let's write a bachelor's degree in Ojibwe language so the focus is Ojibwe fluency. So this allows Ojibwe heritage students and non-heritage students to take the Ojibwe language at the university level. And I just want to make it clear that our goal is not exposure. Even though students, non-Ojibwes and Ojibwes can take 2 years of Ojibwe and satisfy their language requirement, right? Their language exposure requirement. Our heritage students are the ones that usually go on to third and fourth year. And I want to make it clear that our goal is speaking, is fluency, right? We want our students to graduate after 4 years as being highly proficient and being able to carry conversations and tell stories as much as possible. And we keep revamping our program to figure out how we can make them more fluent quicker, okay? Because I believe that the ultimate test of your program, whether it's a good program or not, is whether or not you're producing fluent speakers. When I say fluent, it's a loaded word, but you know what I mean. Highly proficient, conversational, can speak it, know all the issues or most of the issues around the language, about how it works, those kinds of things. If you have this really big, nice program, but the students in your program are not highly proficient or they can't speak hardly at all after 4 years, time to revamp your program. We were there at 1.2. Okay, I wanted to show you a video about our language students. This is a video that we made. It's only like 9 minutes. And it's our students talking the language. It's all in Ojibwe with English subtitles.
Chipitain Dakwad Owen Waywin. Bagish Noah Jabatak Mizue. Gekno Ma Diwe Gamikong and Ayang Mizue.
Agawa go goshkuzi magad Ojibwe mon. Mi wenji gugwe kendaman. Ojibwe mon yin je gushkozi magak Ojibwe mon.
Ich bin when it too young, it didn't weigh winning on. I went in goje gushke to see men je shying, je goy came among you. Dibish could go. Ich bin we came among you, Japanese moin. Japan get die, ja. Ich bin when it too young. Ojibwe moin going gushke to see men je shying with the Agama king. O mag ducky manan. Miga onje wish it too young, bachelor's of Ojibwe language. Oma University of Minnesota, ekonot ma di wig me gong, chiwiduko wen duang yu, ekonot ma gnak, waywen jinna tau Ojibwe moad, gawin e tago yu, ge kenda moad, waywen je Ojibwe moad, jinna tau Ojibwe moad yu ke, isho Ojibwe moad chaya hag. Mi okea geisha min chimin amango o, ginin waywen anan.
Tingi mi wenda, gikinu amago yan. Iwe de U of M gekno ma di wikamego.
Ingi kitchmin wendan bejayan o gekno ma ding University of Minnesota jin nanda gekingdom on Ojibwe moin.
Ingi kitchmin awana goes megwa gekno ma gozian o ma University of Minnesota. Nibua nishinabe gay ingi nagish goa.
On sam sanaga je gekno ma de zoyan Ojibwe moin. Barma go gea. Nakwish Gawak Ojibwe mo gikno magi winini. A budget tune grammar patterns gi gikno mawad Ojibwe moan.
In da budget tune men Asian ka dagan grammar patterns. Dibish kugo we kidoyan if magishagaya because me and new grammar patterns. Ga mamano name daman. Ish bin a budget tune wad grammar patterns ngi we kuno maga nagwi Ojibwe moad. Nawaj ki nita Ojibwe moad. Mino agaye no watch ki wena panada ni we Ojibwe moad.
Waish kad gi gitche zanagad jabu chituyan Ojibwe moin. Kawin ingi jitche gay si. Awin ingi abu chitu sin Ojibwe moin. Ingi zegas. Kawin in danawi wana gi jwe si. Midashima ki mamino nain the man. Buch in deng. Che onche.
When she got some maguan, I can no maganag, jabuch two wad, o date wa Ojibwe moad. In ye mamma no name the mark, ish bin, habuch two sigwa, o date wa Ojibwe moad. Gawin way waning in the tau Ojibwe mo siwag.
A budget tune good day. Nimino manji oma, ki Ojibwe moyan.
Gago, Ojibwe again, gago. Gago, minjamin the gang, gago. Mate go. Gide, gidabuch tun. No waj wain panad.
Apeche and gimen wain dan Ojibwe moen gikin o mading. And gimen wain dan gosha, nigiwe wijigan. And gimen wain dan gagwe chichigayan.
Gawin ate to go, Oshibi gay seem. Nimisa wain de mag, jinagach tu wad. aba chu tu wad o du ne wan we o jibwe mwad mio e chi ge ang ma e kan o ma di we me going university of minnesota
ki pibung ingi atsu kemen ni ji ge kan o ma gana gainin ingi ge che pitena mag ni ji ge kan o ma gana ingi ge che binge yendam gash ki tu yan je atsu kyan me kwa jibwe moyan devish gugo gaz chi ge wad Anishinaabeg meo isha. Gi pe isha sa wamba no ma. Gawin and dagi gashkitusin jadzu keyan ojibwe moyan.
Gai gin gda adus okay. When a buju de bajmuin.
When a buju.
Gai gin gda kendan. Anu chikadonan. Dirishko pasadie.
Get you a peat tain dog went and then named him. Job which is too young, you get in way when and on. Got me negoose, young and a snobbe young. Me, you ain't you, can no ma gay on here, which a boy win.
We are between under the kingdom, man, which a boy win. And geek, you can no ma gay bunky. Kishi tie on my oma, get no ma de wig make. No we get no ma gay. No watch. I guess your boy motor qua. The knee jana suck and the benuji suck and the gachim and went on.
When you could go, get came the man or jibwe moin, je gushkituyan, je ojibwe mo toa gua, the knee jana suck.
Knee jawag and dana suck. Nemisuene mag, genita ojibwe moin, and do ojibwe. Oma and I am meanawa a wede bit or two an exam.
Chimin Wendam, Gi Nanda Kakenda man, Ojibwe Moen, Emma, your men kikino amadi wagamagong, Mionzam, Gashkitoyan, Jekikino amawagwa, Nayashin Gosasak. Nindu Jibwe Motawag and Gosasak, Jekikane and Diz Award, and the Shinabe reward.
Nikikane and Diz, and the Shinabe we on.
Ishpin up.
Gishpin gikno amade zo yeg ojibwe mon. Miwa pigi zongi gabu yung.
Nimi gwichu wendam gikagwe ojibwe moyan. Gidak gwe gikendan. Gaget gidam minu se. Gidam minu wanagos. Nin ningi minu wanagos.
Gishpin we ojibwe moyan. Gida beja oma, University of Minnesota, je gugwege kendaman, ojibwe moen.
Nge che pite na mag nyo, nge kino omag na ga saga jibi gejik. Anin de go ye kino omag ewa ge ojibwe moen. Anin de go du jibwe moto wa wan nyo, oni jan san mayan dawad. Mio kea, ge si bimada zima ga ki yo ginin waywin anan. Yo in waywin, ga minigus yang inishna bewing.
Those were our students in our program, and I was so proud of them when we made this video, and because they did so well.
Yakan, Tausug, Bajaw, Ilanon, Jama Mapun, Kalagan. Kilala mo ba sila?
Sila? Oo naman. Sila lang naman ang ilan sa mga kilalang Muslim tribes sa Pilipinas.
Ah, yun pala. Galing. Ngayon, alam ko na.
Tara, magsalam radyo na. Abangan at alamin ang makulay na kultura at musika, isyu at advokasya ng Islam. Hatid sa inyo ng UP Institute of Islamic Studies.
Ito ang natatanging programa para sa Muslim, Islam at iba pa.
Salam Radyo! Tuwing Martes, alauna hanggang alas 2 ng tanghali.
Dito sa DZUP 1602.
Kasali ka!
Anak, mabilis na lang to. Ilalagay ko na lang sa baon mo.
Ma, late na ako. Bibili na lang ako ng kape. Hapunan na lang, ma, okay?
Pahalagahan ang mga bagay na ginagawa ng ibang tao para sa'yo. Kahit na ito'y kasing simple lang ng almusal ni nanay. Isang paalala ng DZUP 1602. Magandang umaga.
Uy, ikaw. Oo, ikaw. Naalala mo ba kung anong manahawakan mo sa buong maghapon? Nung binuksan mo yung pinto palabas. Nung nagbayad ka, nagpamasahe.
Ba po yung 20.
Iyang kakainin mong pagkain. Ang mga pang-araw-araw nating gawain ay maaaring magpasa ng mikrobyong nagdudulot ng sakit. Parating maghugas ng mga kamay upang mapanatili itong malinis. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka.
DZUP Special Features.
So at the University of Minnesota, the way our program works is that the Ojibwe language classes are primarily taught in Ojibwe with some English usage to explain difficult grammatical concepts. Ojibwe language is a highly inflected, it's very complex, and so it does require some explanation in English so that students can quickly get an idea of how the language works, so that when they start producing the language, because we're not just trying to give them an exposure, right? We're trying to get them to a point where they can produce language that is, and not just produce any language, right? Just because a bunch of Ojibwe comes out of their mouth doesn't mean it's good. So in the classroom, we don't let them speak English. One of the things that I do, that we do, is I have this underwear ball. And it's underwear from my drawer. Who knows? But if they want to speak English, they raise their hand up and they want to speak English and ask a question, I throw this ball. And if they're holding the ball, they can speak English. We also do weekly immersion lunches with our students. And me and the other instructor, well, once a week, we meet with the students so they can get an opportunity to use the language and try to use the language, practice what they've been learning in class. Sometimes, though, at the beginning, their students are very shy and they're really afraid of making mistakes. So I tell them, I was like, that's okay. Just come and listen. When you're ready, start talking. Talking always comes last, right? That always comes last. So I tell them, don't worry about it. Just come and listen. It's an opportunity for students to hear the language in use. Students can learn new vocabulary because when you're having lunch, you don't know what we'll talk about. It could be about anything. And it reinforces their overall language learning. There's no underwear ball in use. I mean, but the rule is no English. And there's no particular plug. And there's no planned activities either. Sometimes students are trained. We train students to think we always have to plan an activity for them. They can't learn the language unless we give them an activity, right? I always tell my students, the language serves the needs of its speakers. You have to have a need to speak it. If you just walk around with a blank head and you don't have a reason to use the language, you're never going to learn it, right? So language serves the needs of its speakers. So you have to come with your brain and whatever you want to talk about it. If you don't know the word, ask. We have another program that we have not been able to implement yet. It's the Ojibwe Immersion House. And this is a program where students can live together in an apartment and where there is a no English rule in effect. So the Immersion House allows students to live together, preferably with a native speaker living with them. But for a lot of our communities, we can't do that. We're not going to be able to provide a native speaker to live with them. But it's an opportunity for them to get together, live, because classes are not enough. 4 years of instruction is not enough for our students. They have to, because the classroom is very sterile, right? It's very sterile because there's so many things that you have to do in the language, like go shopping, do laundry, those kinds of things. There's so much of life that you can't experience or it's very difficult to experience in the classroom. So that's why the program is created. We just haven't had enough students willing to live with each other and do it. Because immersion education or immersion living is actually quite scary for a lot of students. So we do have one area where you can speak English in the house, and that's the bathroom. So one person has to sit on the toilet, the other one has to sit on the edge of the tub. Then you can speak English, right? Because sometimes when you're doing immersion, they get frustrated, they get angry, they get very, so sometimes they just need to talk it out and air out their frustrations. Okay. This idea came from the foreign language houses that they've done at certain universities. And doesn't seem to be a widespread thing over a lot of universities and colleges, but some colleges or universities like Brigham Young University have what's called foreign language housing. When the students from those foreign language housing, they're learning languages like Japanese, Russian, whatever. It's a foreign language. And they live together and they provide a native speaker and they live with the native speaker of the target language. And the students have reported, who have lived in the foreign language housing, reported that they actually felt like they were able to learn the language better than being in the country. A lot of them had spent time in a country of the target language that they're trying to learn, but they felt living in a group and having a native speaker there all the time helped their language learning drastically. But we don't have that luxury. All our native speakers are 60 and 70 years older, so I don't know if they want to live with a bunch of college students. So the idea is that in the BYU foreign housing, they eat their meals together, and the meals are eaten together so that they could have conversations. We plan to have instructors and native speakers to do rotation meals with the students, if that's possible. The literature shows that you need to have a native speaker or advanced language speakers mixed with the beginning students. If you only have beginning students in the immersion house, it doesn't work very well. Their learning is stifled, so you really do have to have a mix. And that's why we haven't been able to do it in the last few years, is because we don't have enough advanced students to beginning student ratio to do that yet. And plus, in our language classes, there's only maybe 4 or 5 students taking our classes, so it's very difficult to do sometimes. Another program that we partner with is this adult immersion program. This is for adults only. And this is an adult immersion academy, we call it. And at this academy, it's located on the reservation about 2 hours north of the Twin Cities of Minneapolis. And there is a no English rule in effect. So when we're at this academy, you can't speak English at all. You can't even say, "Anin ekidong car." You can't ask that. If you even words that you don't know how to say, you can't say the English word, right? You have to say "Anin ekidong," right? You have to act it out, draw it, or whatever you got to do, but you can't say the English word. And so, but it's not just immersion. We combine it with grammatical description. In other words, that's why I'm there. My job is to do grammar. That's an ugly word for a lot of people, but really my job, I'm a linguist. And so I'm Ojibwe. This is my language, and I'm a linguist, and I can an academic linguist, right? So I demystify the language for the students. That's my job. I don't go in there and say this is a transitive verb and this is no way. I don't do that. I leave that stuff at the door. All those technical words and jargon, I leave at the door. I come in and I make up new words to describe how the language is working. So we found that if the students know how the language works, in other words, if they understand the fundamentals, how the language works, how words are put together, especially the long words, how that works, then we have found that they benefit from immersion, or they're able to benefit from the immersion environment more. So that's why in this academy, we don't allow students who have zero knowledge. They have to have some knowledge, either classes or personal study, but they have to have a working knowledge of the language before they can come do this. Because if you throw an adult, right, who has no knowledge of the language, and you throw them in an immersion environment, one or two things will happen. They'll start crying, or they'll punch you in the face, or both. Right? If you just start speaking, I did that in Japan. I lived in Japan for 2 years. The guy I was working with, he was American too. He decided to speak nothing but Japanese to me for the whole day. Questions we can do later, right? Okay, thank you.
Dr. Fairbanks, Anishina Bemowin, Awani Gabao. So maraming salamat po, Dr. Fairbanks.